Welcome back to Can Act Story. This episode we'll be talking about Broadway, as the title is called Broadway Baby. This time I'm with Ross Herman, an actor Broadway who played Kurt at the Hatter musical. So listen guys and hear us out. Bang.
Well, I was like, I really appreciate it that you be in my podcast. Like,
my pleasure.
Yeah. So I just want to want to know, as like the title for this episode, like it's called, I'm calling it Broadway Baby, right?
Yeah.
So like, tell us that about you, like how was your Broadway life?
Yeah, I mean, like when I was a kid, I always loved musicals, and I never really thought that it would be my career. I kind of wanted to be a musical director. So like, the for anyone that doesn't know what a musical director is, they're in charge of all the music and in charge of all the singers and how things sound and in charge of the band. And for years I wanted to be a musical director. My music theory is good and I play piano well, but it's not to the level of a musical director. So that kind of didn't last very long. And then I've always sung, I've always performed, but it wasn't until I was about 22-23 that I decided to do it professionally.
Old are you right now?
26. So I've really not been doing it that long professionally.
Wow.
I graduated 2019, and I played Sky in Mamma Mia pretty much literally the same month that I graduated. And that contract was cut short because of COVID.
Oh yeah.
And then my first job after COVID was Heather's, and that's literally just finished. So yeah, it's been a crazy wild ride, but I've been really lucky with some great opportunities so far.
Yeah, so you're playing Kurt, right, in this new Hatter musical, right? So what do you think about this character, about this Kurt?
It's so funny because I saw Heather's years ago. I saw it off Broadway, the original off Broadway production. And it was a character that didn't really register with me. Like, I didn't relate to him. The character journey was different back then because I don't know how well you know Heather's, but Blue used to be the song sung by Kurt and Ram, and it didn't really have much of a purpose in terms of storyline. It was replaced with You're Welcome, which is the song that we sang in our version of the show, which kind of gives Kurt and Ram more of a menacing kind of feel. And then I saw it again when it came to London. And again, it's not a role I thought I would play. I don't, I am so different to Kurt. You know,
just so different between Ross and Kurt, yeah.
Yeah, like he's this bully, this really egotistical, quite simple in his kind of brain. But I think that's what's so lovely about playing characters that are so different to who you are, because you just get to, they walk differently, they talk differently, they think differently. You can kind of jump straight into someone else 100%. I think if you resonate with a character too much, it's almost Ross on that stage, not the character. So it was fun to play someone who was really the opposite of me.
Oh my God, yeah, I know Hatter's, I didn't know about Hatter's before until I think when the Riverdale doing a musical episode about Hatter's, right?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then I was just like, oh, like, I really like the music. I mean, like, I never know about Hatter's because, I never been, in Broadway before. I mean, I love Broadway, but I don't know about Hatter's, and I was like, wow, this is a good one. And then just, I love the song and about the depressing teenager in the high school, and then just like, yeah.
I think a lot of people relate to the story. You know, everyone was a teenager or is a teenager now, and everyone recognizes themselves or people that they went to school with in some of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Heathers is so successful.
What song you perform like on Heathers musical?
What song was my favorite, or what song did we perform?
Like your own part that you perform?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I pretty much sang in all of the group numbers. So Beautiful. Then what was the next one that we did? I can't remember now. Big Fun, and then we do You're Welcome, Never Shut Up Again,
mm-hmm.
Dead Gay Sun.
And Our Love
Is Better, backstage and Shine a Light. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I thought you also sing the Our Love Is God.
Well, no, because I'm dead. So.
Oh yeah. That's how you know that I have no more than any problem with Heathers.
I would like to have sung it though.
I was like, when I was like 14, I also like auditioned for Les Mis.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I was singing like I'm singing. Do you hear the people sing? And then like yeah, okay. Yeah. And then we moved to the. I got a callback. We moved to the acting, right? And then like the director just wanted me to acting like as a homeless. And I was like this. Standing silent, I got my nervous and like it's like okay, fuck. I was like, okay, off, I'm off.
It's hard, like allowing yourself to just really disconnect from yourself and just really take on what a director wants is sometimes the hardest part of acting, because you know, we've all got an ego, we've all got our own emotions, but you really mm-hmm. have to. You really have to just put them to one side and allow yourself to trust the piece and trust the director and trust the fact that it's not to do with you anymore. It's to do with the character or the piece or the director. It's nothing personal anymore.
So like what is your favorite Broadway show? Like your top three?
Oh, I get asked this question all the time and I never know the answer. It changes.
You cannot choose.
The ones probably I listen to most are Next to Normal.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that as well on Broadway probably 12, 13 years ago.
I just saw it.
It's so amazing. And I think like it was the first show that I saw that really tackled a serious subject mm-hmm. in a musical theatre form. And it really opened my eyes to the possibilities of musical theatre. I also listen to Bridges of Madison County a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just one of the most stunning scores ever written. What else do I listen to? It's really hard because I love like songs from lots of shows.
Okay.
In terms of actual shows that mm-hmm. I love, there's like I don't know.
You cannot.
This is
yeah.
the hardest question. I mean,
that question a lot, right?
Yeah, Mamma Mia really has a soft spot for me because like it was my first job, but I loved Mamma Mia before. Before I did it, like I've always loved ABBA. I've always loved the fact that mm-hmm. the story is just so hilarious, and there's kind of loads of plot holes, but it knows exactly what it is, and it's always a good fun night out. And I wouldn't say Mamma Mia is one of my top three shows, but it has a very soft spot in my heart. and obviously Heathers now like is a super important part of my life.
Because mm-hmm.
it's brought some amazing people into my life, and I've had a great experience with it. And yeah, I think like once you do musical theatre for work,
mm-hmm.
It changes not necessarily for the better or for the worse, but it changes how you think of shows and listen to shows and watch shows. And yeah, quite philosophical for a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, like my first probably that I was really serious, just like Les Mis, because like when I was like in junior high school, I was like part in the marching band, right?
Yeah.
And we have like competition, like for a national competition, and then we played the Les Mis song.
So that's how you were introduced to it.
Yeah, and then my coach like telling me about this, about the French Revolution, about this, and it's like, okay, I get into it, and then the movie came out, and then okay, now I'm really like into it, and also like I was 2019, so yeah, it's all like bring it to me, you know. But recently, for me, like my top three, I don't think I have top three. Like I'm really obsessed with Dear Evan Hansen lately.
Yeah,
I'm really obsessed with that.
It's such a stunning score. Like it's really beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that like it starts conversations about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to have those conversations, and whatever way those conversations can be started, I think is great.
Yeah.
And the music's stunning.
Have you seen it, the West End one, the Dear Evan Hansen concert?
I haven't seen it on the West End because before COVID I was working, so I didn't get to see it. And then I haven't seen it since it's reopened, but I did see it on Broadway. Ben Platt was on holiday when I went to see it, so we saw his fabulous understudy. The music's just stunning.
Yeah, the music is really good. It's really good. I mean, my friends who play Evan for the West End.
Oh, nice.
And Sam Tutti, the ginger guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
he's great.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm really obsessed with Evan Hansen, and then just like yeah. So like, what makes you, like, why did you choose acting?
I think because I've always loved being on a stage and kind of sharing my passion and my gift with other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as I've got older, I've understood that acting teaches humans about humans. Acting opens up a whole plethora of emotions that unless we really try to access those emotions, we maybe wouldn't have known they existed. And what I've learned about myself from acting, and what I've learned about other people from acting, is just crazy. Like, I'm quite a technical actor these days. I never used to be, but I think now I've really understood, in terms of a technique of finding someone's motivations and internal conflicts and stuff, it's really opened a new side of acting for me that that I can geek out about, because I get quite geeky about things and I like to know details and I like to go into lots of detail, and I like the fact that it's a technique and it's a fun sort of stuff to play about with. What would this person think here? What is this person's motivation here? Teaches you a lot about human psychology as well.
And then it's like, every time you're on the stage, what do you feel like every time you're on the stage, you're performing?
I think like the first few times it's nerve-wracking, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, but then after a little while you get super comfortable. And it just becomes, I love the moment where it becomes a switch that you can flick and you're on in that character. When you've done something so many times,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to really over prepare or get yourself psyched up. It's just a switch that you can flick on. And I love that feeling,
mm-hmm.
You know, stepping out of yourself and into someone else in a split second.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, an actor is there as a vehicle to deliver someone else's emotions, not to feel them themselves, but so an audience can feel the emotions that were intended from the writer. You know, an actor's job is not to get emotional themselves, but to initiate that emotional response in an audience. Mm-hmm. And when you can flick a switch and just turn it on, it's a great feeling.
Such a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sometimes, like, how long, like for the your recent character is current right now, like, for how long that you like been get to know this character?
We had 2 weeks. Character. We had 2 weeks rehearsals, which is a really short rehearsal period.
Like for the whole performance or just studying your character?
Yeah, for the whole thing, I had 2 weeks.
Whole thing, choreography and acting. Yeah. Oh yeah. My God. There's so much pressure, I guess.
2 weeks pretty much from getting the script to opening night. So it was a very intense sort of couple of weeks, but again, with a West End show, it mm-hmm. after the first few weeks it becomes a really well-oiled machine. You know, it just becomes a switch that you can flip. Mm-hmm. So the first few weeks I was still finding who Kurt was. I was still finding how Kurt would say things. I was still finding how Kurt would respond to things. And even right until the last show, mm-hmm. I was still discovering who this person is. And that's what's great about doing long-running shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because me as Ross, I'm not the same person today that I was 6 months ago, 6 years ago. We evolve and change. So the characters that we play mm-hmm. evolve and change. Even if we do 100, 200, 300, 400 shows, the characters evolve because we evolve as humans as well.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's like, yeah. And then it's kind of like takes time also for the studying. I mean, like 2 weeks, it was just like, wow.
Yeah, 2 weeks is shorter than normal. Usually it's 4 or 5 weeks, but we had two, and we got it done. We did it all and mm-hmm. opened, and it was great. I think because with COVID, they had to like minimize the time that we were kind of doing everything and in and out and traveling and. But yeah, it was 2 weeks is not very long, but we did it.
I mean, like, yeah, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
If like is there any like Heather's musical like being in a theater in a movie? The musical version of it?
The musical hasn't been in a movie, no. I think because the movie itself is so iconic.
Yeah,
it's like it's better to leave the movie as the movie and the musical as the stage version.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? There's been a lot of musical movie adaptions recently, so I know the writers are always evolving. Like Heather's isn't a fixed thing; they're always changing lines, they're always tweaking bits. So who knows? There might be scope in the future to adapt it. Heather's is such a mm-hmm. It's quite an enigma, actually. It doesn't follow the same patterns as other musicals, and yeah, who knows? It's definitely got a huge fan base that would appreciate any form of Heather's.
Yeah, so if there's like a Heather's musical, the movie, like you're gonna be like casting about it, casting.
Who knows? I might be too old by then.
I mean, like, it could be just, like, the production, like, maybe making it next year and start the searching casting next year, so...
Yeah, I don't know. Not at all.
I mean, like, take a step before, like, your Evan Hansen, like, hold this band plate, so, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I'll do whatever I'm asked to do.
Yeah, if you can audition for the Heather's the movie... The musical, the movie, what's role gonna out it?
Well, I don't know. I've not thought about it. What a fun experience that would be, though.
Yeah. I want to be the Chandler.
Yeah. Me too.
And then he's like, yeah. So we're already talking about the Broadway. Now we're talking about your recent song, Starting Again.
Yeah.
In Battles.
Yeah.
I want to know the story behind that.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, I actually wrote it when I was running through a park and it was raining, and I saw like leaves falling off the trees, and it was just like a time of that time of year when everything starts again, and it speaks to that point in a relationship where. And it could just be a friendship or a family relationship or an emotional relationship,
mm-hmm.
where things break down, communication breaks down, people change, but it's just about finding it within you to move forward in a new way. Mm-hmm. So it's a hopeful song. It's a happy song. And yeah, I think it's a good song. I love it. Makes me want to dance and smile. So I hope that it makes other people want to dance and smile.
Yeah, your song really is a day before my birthday. So I was like, wow. And you're like, I've seen it on Instagram, wow. And I just like listen to it.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. My favorite part, like from your song Starting Again,
yeah,
is that the pressure is pulling at me just like the rain falls. That's for me, it's kind of really deep, you know, like start from that, like now I'm sinking, I can see the surface, the pressure is pulling at me just like the rain falls.
Yeah, and I think that because I could have just turned it into a happy pop song about like, I don't know, like just about being in love but actually it felt more authentic to me to present the fact that life isn't always 100% great, and you mm-hmm. have to slowly build things back up, and you have to slowly build happiness when you've been through a testing time,
mm-hmm.
Which is why the song starts quite small and ends big, because it's a slow build, it's a slow kind of development from
mm-hmm.
from trials and testing times to happiness and this new life which is why the song builds from small to big, mm-hmm. and which is why the vocals are so quiet at the beginning and then really big and belty at the end. It's a journey of growth and happiness.
What about Battle?
Yeah, Battles is one of my faves. Battles is more about feeling an internal pull towards a life you want to lead, mm-hmm. when the external world is pulling you more towards the life that you currently have and that you want to move away from.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to be getting lots of opportunities in a part of my life that I'd moved away from and that I didn't want to do anymore, mm-hmm. and wanted to move into you know, performing more and writing music and being in shows. And it was just this kind of time in my life where I needed to step fully into my new life, but my old life was kind of taking away and taking forward, and I didn't want it to, but I didn't want to kind of turn down the opportunity. So it was this really weird internal pull, and that's what Battles is about.
Oh, this is really, I mean, like, yeah, I'm like every singer somewhere, every artist like have their own story once they're making something, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I think where my success, or well, I say success, where I think my music has been successful is when I've just been really authentic with my story. I've written songs in the past where I've just literally like written about something that's not really real just to make it rhyme and make it sound good. And the song's been, the song on paper has been great, but actually in reality, it's nobody's enjoyed it. And I didn't really enjoy it because it's not
authentic. You don't enjoy your own song?
I do now because they're authentic. But in the past, I've written songs that should be great songs, but because they don't come from a place of authenticity, it's like they don't really mean anything to anyone. Whereas these songs that I write now that come from a genuinely authentic place, and that comes from working with people who aren't afraid to question my authenticity and say, what does this mean? Like, what are you saying here? All of a sudden it transports it to the next level that it's actually telling a story.
Wow. So after the headers is on the closing, not on the final bow, what you gonna do next?
I don't know. I'm just really excited to see what's around the corner. I leave myself very open to be able to respond to things. And you know, I don't try and push too hard to say, oh, I need to find a job, I need to do this, I need to do that, because I know that when the time is right, the right opportunity will present itself to me. And and you know, I'll have to keep working in order for it to present itself. But I don't put any stress on what's next, so who knows, hopefully it'll be fun.
It's like your song, be fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And like from the headers, like who like so like the best moment that you had in this?
Oh, I don't know, that's so hard. I think the final show was just the most special experience, because we just all lived in that moment and we were also present, and the show was amazing and the audience was amazing, and it was just happy. And I think that was the best note to finish on.
Like the 17 reprise.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And everyone cried.
Yeah. That song is making me cry as well. It's like, wow, like it's really touching, you know, like everyone just like get her and then be present, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh no, it's amazing.
I was like before I was just like want to like ask you to the in my podcast, I was thinking, oh my god, you're from UK, I hope you understand your accent.
Yeah, I try to speak really clearly, but sometimes I get carried away and speak quite fast.
Well, it's not as fast as my friend from Scottish.
Oh yeah, yeah, even I don't understand Scottish people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, like, because like I live in Bali and so many tourists, you know, and it was like,
yeah.
I met different accent from different people.
I love Bali.
You've been here before?
Stunning. Yeah, I've been.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
I went on holiday. 8 years ago.
Ah, I'm not here yet.
Yeah, stunning, stunning part
you
of the world.
Come back.
Beautiful. I would love to. I would love to.
After you finish your thing and then, yeah, you take a break.
Yeah.
What's your dog's name?
My dog's called Eddie, and he's just having a sniff of various things right now. It's quite cold over here now, so we're I'm shaking him around the block to keep warm and just to have a good sniff. But we need to go home now anyway.
It's a really good day in there.
Yeah, it's stunning. It's cold though.
Oh, I'm like it's starting the raining season here. Like I got so many questions to ask.
I've probably only got about five minutes left anyway, because I need to go soon.
It's like,
what's your next question?
Like, how do your friends like treating you when they know like you're a Broadway player or a star? How do your friends treating you?
They're all so proud. Like, they all come to watch the show and, mm-hmm. and they all love to come and support. But at the end of the day, like, I'm still just Ross. I'm still just that person that goes to work. I'm still just mm-hmm. that person that, like, you know, they're so proud. But equally, it's just the same as if I was a teacher or a banker or, you know. But yeah, I'm super lucky to have friends that love to support and come and watch shows, and yeah.
Which fictional character that you'd be most exciting to meet in real life?
Oh, great question. I used to love all the Disney characters. So like, I'd love to meet Cruella de Vil.
Oh yeah,
I think so. Be like an actor, especially after the most recent Cruella film. I'm like, yeah, that's such a cool character to have been created.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Come on, you must know.
Really interesting question. No, I don't. Like, I sometimes think like it would be really interesting to meet some like a fictional character and asking questions, but I always think, which one would I want to be friends with? And I'd probably want to be friends with Glinda from Wicked. Like, Elphaba's too shouty and there's too much drama going on with Elphaba, so even though I'd love to probably sing Defying Gravity, I don't want to be Elphaba's friend.
Oh my god. Like, that song is really under the high note now.
Yeah.
Have you progressed in your acting career as you have expected?
Yeah, I think like when you're just a working actor, all that you can hope for or ask for is just to be working.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, apart from COVID,
mm-hmm.
I'm lucky that I've not really been out of work. So yeah, obviously everyone has their own career goals, but I think most actors just want to be working, and so I feel super grateful that I've had those opportunities to work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I've definitely, obviously, as a British musical theatre performer, your goal is to be on the West End, and to be on the West End for my pretty much second job.
Second job
is, yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's like is like really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm proud of everything I've achieved. Like, don't get me wrong, I've worked hard, and I know how hard I've worked, and I know what I've put in, which is why I feel comfortable and confident in doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I'm here on a fluke. But equally, yeah, I feel like very pleased and happy with how it's all gone. And look forward to what's next.
Who is like your biggest influence or someone like really inspiring you to do this, to what you're doing, you know?
I think in terms of like what performer do I look up to the most, it's always been Lady Gaga.
Oh,
she's never allowed other people's boundaries to dictate what she's done.
True, you know, she's the queen.
Yeah, well, like she was an incredible pop performer, and then she went into fashion, and then she changed her musical style to, you know, various other genres, and then she did some incredible acting, and now she's just known for being an incredible performer, not just a singer or not just an actor. She's just known for being herself. Yeah. And I think that's really inspiring.
Yeah, I'm also so excited about her new movie in House of Gucci.
Yeah, me too. I want to see it.
Yeah, because she's changing the accent to this character.
So cool.
Like, so it's the total, like, how many years did you been in this, like, in this Broadway thing, in the production?
So I graduated 2 years ago.
Oh, so you just, like, 2 years ago, you just, like, you're doing this now, until now?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've always been singing and stuff, but professionally, yeah, 2 years, which is cool. I've loved it, and I feel really happy to be on this journey.
Mm-hmm. Can you sing a little bit of what your new song here, the chorus?
No, I'm poorly, so I've got no voice.
Come on.
But it's coming out next week, so you'll be able to hear it then. Listen, I've got to go, but thank you so much for asking me to chat to you. I've loved it, and I hope that I've answered all the questions that you needed me to answer.
Okay, like a really thank you to you.
No, my pleasure.
And then, yeah, you will see in the Spotify on this Friday and everywhere, Apple Podcasts, everywhere.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Ross. Have a nice
day. No, thank you. Best of luck with your podcast. It was lovely to speak to you.
We should do it sometimes again.
Yeah, for sure.
The second part. Well, thank you so much for being in the Get Next
Story. No worries.
Break a leg.
See you later. Thanks. Bye.
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 So yeah, guys, that's it with talking with Ross Herrmann. So I really appreciate it. I really love him so much. He's a really, really nice person. So if you guys want to be on my podcast, just hit me up. I can do some collaboration. And then just like, yeah. Adios, amigos. Bye. See you in the next episode.